Page 348 of the Basic Text, 6th edition. And that is going to be read by Andrea L. from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Thanks very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm an addict. My name's Andrea. And this isn't my story. As a parent, sometimes recovery means accepting your children's disease as well. This woman helped her sons find their way home. Family disease, family recovery. With 10 years clean, I was facing a crisis in my family. Living with the program of Narcotics Anonymous had given me the tools to create a good life for myself and my children. I wanted them to participate in their lives and thrive. But despite all my efforts and attention, the counseling and consequences, my two teenage boys were out of control with their use of drugs. I was at a loss as to how to help them. Raising two boys is challenging in any case, but when I had one son under two and was pregnant with our second boy, I came home one day to find my husband dead of an overdose. My life was painful and exhausting, but I put my head down, held my boys close, and pressed on. The effects of my husband's death can still sneak up on me in surprising ways. Grief washing over me as I get a scent of his cologne while leafing through a magazine, or when I realize the only memories our boys have of him are stories and pictures. A few years after his death, I could no longer hold down the grief on my own. My long history of casual using rose to a new, unmanageable level. A year later, I gave up on my career and quickly deteriorated, mind, body, and spirit. I did not lose my home or my children, but I lost my enthusiasm, my compassion, and my energy. I was not able to emotionally connect with my boys, so I brought in a mentor and caregiver to take care of their physical needs. He proved to be my family's angel. He fed and dressed my young boys when I was debilitated, combed their hair, and took them to daycare and school. He became the one person they could count on. Then he became part of the solution to my real problem. He was involved when my family held an intervention for me. I went to treatment, and while my family cared for my children out of state, he wrote to the boys every day. He remains a part of our family, living in our home and mentoring the boys, a vital part of our lives. I first heard of NA in treatment, and I doubted that it could be the answer for me. I became involved with Narcotics Anonymous reluctantly. I did not join groups. I did not know how to ask for help. I did not have a higher power or want to find one, and I did not get along with other women. Growing up in the home I did taught me to be independent and to hide my feelings, but I continued to go to meetings, and I was eventually able to hear the message. I finally got a sponsor, and she suggested I get to know some women, get a service position, and start working steps. This was the beginning of real recovery for me. The women in the program have shown me how to love and be loved, how to ask for help, how to be of service in all areas of my life, how to find my higher power in everything, and how to experience joy. I began living my life in recovery. Our home was filled with people from the fellowship. My friends in NA were in my life on a daily basis. My service commitments kept me involved and secured my place as a member of the NA community. I attended lots of meetings and felt like a good example of a person living recovery. Unfortunately, I was living with the mistaken belief that by being a good enough recovering addict, I could shield my children from ever experiencing active addiction. Having lost my husband and both parents to the disease of addiction, I committed myself to ending the cycle of addiction within my own recovery. I intended to protect my children from active addiction. This, however, was beyond my control. It seemed our lives were always in chaos. Whenever the phone rang, I cringed and wondered what crisis awaited. I spent my days trying to keep track of where they were and who they were with, hoping to ward off trouble. I spoke to teachers, counselors, mentors, parents, my sponsor, and friends in recovery. Always one to paint a rosy picture, I acted like things were okay. I tried to minimize, justify, and deny that things were as bad as they were. I practiced magical thinking, telling myself that everything would work itself out. The reality was that my children were both sinking. It was in my power to be there to help them when they were ready to be helped. At 15, my youngest son made a resolution to quit using. I promised to help him if he was unable to do it alone. When he couldn't stay clean by himself, we took him to an adolescent treatment center. I didn't know if there was any way to help my 17-year-old, and in some ways, I had given up on him. Family therapy was one of the treatment center's primary components, and we all attended the sessions together. I began to regain some hope. We continued the counseling, each of us individually and our family as a whole, and began to unravel the unhealthy behaviors that led to our turmoil. All the while, I prayed and worked steps. I went to meetings, tended to my service commitments, and stayed close to my community. I looked to all the people in NA who had been through similar experiences. I got the message again and again that my children have a higher power too, and that our lives are unfolding perfectly. It didn't feel like it as I watched my elder son struggle with his commitment to stay clean for the sake of his little brother. When my younger son completed the treatment program, we all went to pick him up. We left his older brother there in his place. We continued on the path we had begun with ongoing family therapy. We are among the many who have found the way to Narcotics Anonymous by various paths, and I am present to the miracles that brought us here. The most important thing is that we are here and we are all in recovery now. We have had to learn how to be supportive of each other while maintaining separate programs. Our family is on a different path and we have new ways of relating to one another. It is not always easy, but it is always better than what we knew in active addiction. For many years, I have been grateful to Narcotics Anonymous for what it has done in my life. Now, as I see the love of the fellowship surround my sons, I am grateful beyond measure.
Thank you so much. And now our author, Laura E. from New Mexico, will share.
Hello, my name is Laura. I'm an addict. Hi, Laura. I didn't realize how emotional it would be to hear that again. It's not the first time, but you know, I think Jeremy, David, and Jorge, your shares just really helped to crack me open, you know, here today. And I appreciate you so much and what you brought here and how much I related to what you shared. You know, part of that story I thought of as it was being read, you know, I too, Jeremy had said that he didn't really prepare for this, and clearly I didn't either. But one of the things that came up for me is remembering that when my boys were in treatment, the first time that we all flew there and took him to treatment in Malibu, we stayed in a hotel in Westlake Village, and this was to be a semi-home for me on a weekly basis. And I traveled from New Mexico to California in support of my sons. And the first night I got to that hotel, I opened my computer and I looked for a meeting nearby, and there was a meeting within blocks of that hotel. And I went over to that meeting, and when I walked in, there was a woman that I know that was in that meeting. I had met her through a woman that had sponsored me, had spent many years in California in her clean time. And so when I saw Cambria's face in that meeting, I was so grateful for the years that I'd shown up, for the relationships that I'd created, for the support that I knew was going to be in that room for me when I needed it so much. You know, watching my children struggle so through active addiction and ultimately surrendering to finding their way to recovery. That was so difficult to go through. You know, I, after the death of my husband, I was really, I was pregnant with our second son. I mean, I had my sister and her family as great support for me. And they live in Oklahoma. And so I went there to have the baby. And when I was there, one of the things that happened is I started feeling like I was never going to be able to have anything that to give back to my sister and her family in the way that they supported me. And that occurred again and again as they were the ones who took care of my children while I went to treatment and did such a beautiful job of supporting me and getting my feet back under me and being able to find my way to Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I did not want to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. My story is not that I walked in the doors and I felt at home there and, oh, I'm so happy to be here. That was not my experience. I showed up to NA because I knew my family was watching me. I sort of knew like it was the thing that I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't really want to do it. And one of the things that I was taught by my mom in particular was to put on the good face, to smile, to only talk about good things, no matter what was actually going on. So I had, like my mother, she taught me well, I had a wall of pleasant. And so this wall of pleasant followed me into, I carried it in with me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. But when I finally was able to surrender to the program and start finding a way to unpack some of all of that stuff I'd laid on top and start finding what I was about, it wasn't all good news to me. You know, I had some work to do. I carried a lot of anger over my husband's death. I mean, he's the one who wanted kids. And then he left me with them. And I felt a great responsibility, which is, which I carried, you know, to be the best parent I could be to them. And watching them go through active addiction was just that real message of powerlessness, and that I could only help them as much as they were willing to be helped. Oh, that was just heart-wrenching and so difficult to watch. And to get that they struggled one after the other, and that they both required treatment in order to get clean and stay clean. And that our family was dysfunctional enough that we required quite a bit of family therapy. Because one of the things I know is simply getting clean did not give me all the tools that I needed to be a good parent and to run a good family. I carried a lot of burdens from my family of origin, which was frankly pretty fractured. I grew up with one older sister. My father was the addict that our family orbited around. So that dysfunction seemed normal to me. Kind of the hiding of what was actually going on, not really talking about the elephant in the room, and really feeling a sense of disconnection, like four people living in the same house, but not really a team. And so creating that without having had the foundation in my family of origin was difficult for me. And I was really got a strong message that asking for help was a sign of weakness and it just wasn't done. So I didn't come into NA armed with the tools I needed to be a member. I was skeptical about everything. While I was quite nice, I didn't grow up in a family with a religion or spiritual center. It was never spoken about at all. And I wanted to be a know-it-all. I wanted to know everything. And when you talked about spiritual principles, my head just was spinning. I did not know what you meant by that. I was ill-prepared. And I didn't like that because I wanted to already know. What a burden, you know, to need to know what I didn't know and not feeling comfortable asking for help. Able to get a foundation of recovery by hitting a couple walls. You know, I had an early relapse that scared me into taking some suggestions and getting a sponsor. And also, I found a friend. I found one woman that I could connect to because I frankly wasn't connecting with anyone. And then I was asked to set up chairs at my home group and put out the literature. And in some ways that guy saved my life, the guy who asked me to set up chairs. It was my way in to feeling like I had a reason to be there, something to offer. The ability to do something rather than just standing there not wanting you to talk to me. I could be doing something, and I'm a task-oriented person. I'm also an introvert, and I'm the girl who will be washing dishes at the party because I love you, but I've had a little bit too much and I need to step back. So I will find something to do. And that helps me. So being of service in any way really did help me to be able to withstand what I needed to withstand, to start connecting and being in the room. And also, the steps were real intimidating to me because there was a lot of God in there and I didn't know what that meant. And I didn't know how to go about like getting into the place where I could do the rest of the program. So I was very grateful for the second step and how it is worded, so that I had the time to come to believe something. And then I started, you know, reading the literature and understanding it and how the program could be tailored for me, that I wasn't going to be forced down the line that someone else had drawn. But that is in our reading, it says that I could come to an understanding of the program for myself. And that is has been really important for me. So these little boys that were in daycare and kindergarten when I went to treatment myself, they are grown men now. And they are not still in recovery, neither one of them. For whatever reasons, they were willing to do what was necessary at the time for our family. And that that 17-year-old that I had almost given up on has a stellar life. He is a special agent in the Army. He is has a beautiful marriage. He's very stable. He and I have a really, really loving, great relationship. He has kind of shown in the way that he has lived his life that whatever his using was, however serious I might have thought it was at the time, and whatever it was, it has not been a barrier for him at all, and he has not continued to use. So my younger son, completely different path. He's an artist. He lives in Colorado. He's a hippie holdover, and he works in the CBD and marijuana industry in Colorado. He has a beautiful life, and I feel very proud that my boys have found their own paths. And they did not try to force themselves into something that looked like my life, but they were able to forge their own paths. That is an interesting part of reading this story again and hearing it read. It was very moving to me, that idea that I might have given up on my children. I think I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do. And I was so so grateful that having 10 years in Narcotics Anonymous, I had learned about some things to do. And that was to share as honestly as I could, to seek help from people who had been through what I was going through, to take some suggestions, and to understand that I am not the higher power of my children. As much as I wanted to be, as much as I wanted to control them, it was completely out of my realm to try to do so. And that is that's a tricky thing with children. You know, there's a point at which they are under my control, and there's a point at which they aren't. And what I wanted to be for my children was a model for them to follow. And I, like I said in the story, my hope was that I could be good enough recovering addict, that I was going to shield them from ever having to experience active addiction. Like, that was really in my power to do that. And, you know, I know now that it is most important that I continue to do my recovery to the best of my ability. And that as life keeps showing itself up on a daily basis, that I continue to reach towards my sponsor to ask for help, to be in connection, to show up for service. This has been such a different kind of year, and I'm so grateful that I've been able to continue to have places to be of service. And because it is so important to me, and it is a vital part of my recovery. I just don't think that I could feel as connected that I, if I did not have service to do. And I do service in all kinds of realms, in the phone line and H&I and facilitation and HRP. And I've gotten to do a lot of really great service in NA. It really started with those chairs. You know, my thank you for the 5 minutes signal. My boys, my man that I raised, you know, I wanted to be solid for them. And Narcotics Anonymous has given me the tools to do that. What I know now is I am the sturdiest place that my children have to stand. They rely on me still in adulthood for input, for my opinion, for just all. I am a reference tool for them. I never remarried after the death of my husband, and so I had to become that person who taught my boys how to change a tire, how to fix a toilet, how to climb on top of the roof and repair things, how to treat a woman that they respect in their lives. And I'm really grateful, but that's not all that I received from Narcotics Anonymous. I received a set of principles that I had never grown up with, that I didn't even think I needed, that have been a new foundation for me to build our lives on. And, you know, I think that there are some principles that serve my family so well. Once I started employing them in our family, like I allowed my children and I to practice the ninth step with each other. And we learned that we could make our amends and move through things. There are things that were really just not in my toolbox from my family of origin that NA has given me the opportunity to take on as part of my life. Andrea, who read my story, is my sponsor. And I recently found myself in a really bad work situation. And I know that what my sense was that I needed to do was start casting stones and telling them why they were so wrong and that why I had to get away from them. But my recovery told me to call my sponsor, who gave me writing assignments, who talked to me many hours, who helped me get clarity about who I wanted to be as I moved through this situation in my life. And I am so proud of us, what we did, how I got to where I wanted to be, how I moved through my position from it being about them to it being about me and what I chose and what I wanted to have in my life. That still does not come with a reflex action for me. It still requires that I take the moment, that I use the tools, all of them that are necessary at my disposal at the time, and that I use those to move through all the situations in my life. Narcotics Anonymous is not just for one thing for me. It is for everything in my life. And it provides for me everything that I need to move through my life in a way that I can be proud of, that I want to, that I can show up in my life as the person that I hope to be. And I would hope someday that it comes more naturally, but the outcome is the same. If I will use the program of Narcotics Anonymous to move through my life, it has gotten me through so much. And Francis, I have to thank you. I think you have just gone on such an amazing investigatory journey, finding us around the world. And I appreciate so much that we've become friends, that you have called upon me, and I love you all. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so-